Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
I don't care how you jump. It's how straight you walk when you hit the ground, is that old country expression. But the Paul says, if we jump high, we can see things which we can't when our feet are firmly on the ground. But if we're not walking the message of what we see on high, then it's, well, it was a message falsely given. The sense of jumping high in the Spirit, to see what God is wanting to show us outside of our normal routine in life, so that we can live our daily lives in light of that Spirit vision, Spirit power. Walking straight is important. You've heard the story of when I was 17, graduated from Burney High School. I wanted to see the world, and I could get as far as North Carolina by selling Bibles. I was in a small town selling Bibles, and my roommate was, let's just say, not there for spiritual reasons. He was there to make a lot of money and meet some people and get hooked up. And so there was a revival coming to town, and it was primarily by an African-American community. I'd been with him during the day, and I said, let's go. And he wanted to go, and he had the car, and I had a bicycle, so we were going to go with him in his car. We got there, and he was expecting a lot of jumping high, but not much walking straight when he got to the ground. But what he found was a profound experience of the Spirit bringing together the clarity of Jesus Christ, how straight we walk when we are on the ground, and how we can see through the Holy Spirit. And so much so, it was convicting Joe, my roommate for the summer. So he just got up and left. Left me miles away from our kind of flea bag motel that we were staying in, trusting somehow I'd get my way back. I stayed throughout that tent revival service, and wouldn't you know, it was the preacher that would drive me back to our migrant motel. Later, Joe would come under conviction of what he experienced that night. And my hope in my life is that I may be vulnerable enough to want to jump high in the Spirit, for the Spirit take me, but clear enough about the Spirit's strength to walk straight. We walk into this passage that Albert read for us, is the story about Jesus. Story about Jesus who had come to Paul. The story about Jesus that had transformed Paul from a lost man to a found man. And God had given him a jump high experience in the conversion in Damascus, but it wasn't the last jump high experience he was going to have. He'd have a series of them through the course of his life, not every day, maybe not even every year, but enough that when he really needed to see a Macedonian call or to understand his being a prisoner, that God would give him this clear vision. And that's what this prayer in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 are all about. He'd always wanted to go to Rome, growing up in the Roman Empire. You've had places you've always wanted to get to, and he'd always wanted to be there, and he particularly wanted to get there so that he could tell a million citizens in Rome and the epicenter of the Roman Empire exactly who Christ is. He got there all right, but he didn't get there in a way that he had wanted to get there. He arrived there as a prisoner of Caesar. He didn't arrive by being able to kind of walk on his own freedom. He was under the falsely imprisoned and in chains kind of house arrest that got him to Rome. Now, Paul could have experienced what is now a go word in psychology today. It's a word phrase that kind of came up with. It's called arrival flaw or arrival fallacy. You know, that if I ever get that promotion, or if I ever can live in that house, or if I ever get this raise, or if I ever get to go here, if I just get to marry that person, you know, the arrival that's going to give us the happiness. But what happens, we discover, is that once we've arrived and we're at that place, well, the buzz of getting there is gone. And now we have to live our life being there, and living life being there may feel a lot like the life we had before we got there. And that's why this formal term of arrival flaw arrived. We can't find happiness by just wanting to get somewhere other than we are, and that when we get there, everything is going to be okay. Paul was in Rome, and he realized that's not the case. And so under this arrest, he has different eyes to see. And by the different eyes he sees, it was that jump high experience for this daily walk along the way. Now, the Spirit gives us eyes of the heart. He wrote about this in Ephesians 1:18. He says, now only the eyes of the heart can give us the full view of what God is wanting to show us. And then we're able to see the height and the depth and the length and the width of God's marvelous love by which everything comes into view. That's how it was for Danny, as we talked about Daniel in the children's sermon. This Daniel Anthony Russell, who for years came to worship with his mother, and they sat right about over there. And then about 5 years ago, I got a call from Danny and said, Pastor, I want to meet with you again. And Danny told me the story, that what I knew, the first part of the story, is that he had a good heart, but he was angry at God, and life had disappointed him, and he had done some things in life that he was very embarrassed by and actually ashamed of. And he would come to worship every Sunday, not sure how that was going to play itself out before God, because he really didn't trust God. But the messages kept on taking root in his life. And finally, one night at home, late, the TV was on, he said it was as though he heard God speaking to him. He said, now, Pastor, don't worry. I didn't think God was actually speaking out of the television set, but I could sense that God was giving me a message. And God had convicted me of my sin, stuff that I never thought could ever be forgiven, that he had forgiven me, and the love of Jesus was taking over in my heart, and I felt changed. I feel what you've talked about, being born again. By next Sunday, he came forward. Not long after that, Danny was baptized. It was a few weeks ago that he again came to my office. He said, I've got a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. We talked about the treatments and decisions which were before him, but he said this, Pastor, I want you to know I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because if that's what happens, that I die, I know that when you brought me out of the baptismal waters, and I'm glad you did that, and you said, raised to walk in a new life here on earth and forever in heaven. Yesterday morning in the Thrift Chapel here on our campus, we had the memorial service for Danny. His neighbors spoke at the service, and they had loved him for many, many years. Some had grown up with Danny, and they talked about how he became a changed person when he was changed from the inside out by the power of Christ. It's the sense of change and transformation. Cameron gave us the beautiful testimony of his life, but for Cameron, that's going to be a testimony that's going to take him into all of his future, continuing to grow in the power and the promise of this Christ work. You notice in the photograph that showed of that memorial service yesterday with Danny, there is a handkerchief. You see that handkerchief? Mary Hamilton from our church, just as a volunteer, embroiders a handkerchief for everyone getting baptized, has their name, the date, and the verse. Danny was so grateful to God and so proud of that baptism moment that he wanted to make sure it was framed and there for his memorial service. See, that's a forever different. We don't need to fear jumping high. We need to jump high. And we don't need to fear hitting the ground and the daily stuff of life, because that's where most of life is lived. But the power of the Holy Spirit combines these two together. And so in this prayer of Paul, he opens up in verses 14 and 15 by being humbled. He says, now for this reason, I fall to my knees and I begin to pray. God, you have stretched me in life into seeing your hope and promises for everyone. The father of creation is the term that he uses. Everybody made in the image of God. And Paul had a hard time with that. He was one of these you either like me or you don't matter at all kind of guys until he met Jesus.
And then because of what Christ showed him, he realized that everyone was loved by God. And that comes into the call of a special relationship to share the gospel of Jesus so everyone can know the transforming power of grace, of accepting our need and believing Christ as the Son of God and committing our life to Christ. So he was humbled in order to see more clearly. We can fly on an airplane and get a vista from 35,000 feet up in the air. We can stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon and look across that vast expanse of the Grand Canyon and to be humbled by what we can see in that vista. God, who is the creator of the heavens and the universe, the creator of these wonders in the world, is the creator for you and me. But the only way to see what God is wanting to show us is to be humbled. Maybe you've been humbled by a medical diagnosis. Maybe you've been humbled by a reversal in business. Maybe you've been humbled by a family experience. Maybe you've been humbled by you're not being the person you'd hoped to be when you were all alone or you had some power and you misused it. And all of that humbling is about helping you to see your life through Christ. That through him, everything begins to look different. And then once we're humbled, what happens? We become more aware. So then Paul lays out in this verses 16 through 19 that we can be aware of God's generous and magnificent love. And today's Living Version translation has the soil of God's marvelous love. That this we get a sight of the length and the height and the depth and the width, meaning we're completely covered by God having gone before us and preparing the life that we are to live. There's no way you can go in your future that God isn't there preparing a best life for you to live. Now, you can screw it up. I can screw it up. But he's got the length. He's got a future for us that gives us confidence today, and he's also got that length that's coming from behind, cleaning up the mess of our life and also building upon the best of our life all by his grace. And the roots go deep because they're rooted in the soil of marvelous love. And their heights are there that no matter if we were the first people to walk on the moon like Armstrong and Aldrin, but what they said was they saw the earth more clearly and it was beautiful and they could feel God's presence in a wonder. When we were in Honduras on behalf of the whole church and the leadership team of Ethan, Jod and others, we went to 12 schools among part of what we did, and our youth did a beautiful job of leading in song. And I took a photograph of several hundred students at one time, kind of a film clip. But there's a particular girl that kind of caught my imagination. Watch it here. Precious. There was one girl out of hundreds, and they were all equally precious, but sometimes life comes into clear view when we can focus on one person that helps us then to see everyone more clearly. It's like an awareness and the power of the promise. Now, I'm one of these people, maybe there's one or two out here with you that can't clap your hands in rhythm and try to sing a song when everybody else is singing the same song. So I watch whoever's doing the movements, the hand movements. I can maybe get one or two of them down, and I do my best to sing the best I can, but I just stumble over myself trying to put it all together. And here are people learning the song, and they were just beautiful because they heard in the message of the song they were loved by God. They heard in the message of the song that the love of God was there with them and that whatever is occurring in their life, that God would be with them in the power of the Christ and a way to walk in life. So we're humbled, we're made aware, and then we're strengthened. We've been humbled because then we become teachable. And in being teachable, then we're able to receive that fullness of the Spirit, and then we're able to have the experience to move our awareness to see more of God than we would have otherwise than we had before, to see more of people than we've been able to take in before because the eyes of the heart have been touched by the Spirit. And so what would Paul do by this? But they're also in Ephesians, in the same book, the same imprisonment, the same kind of prayer experience. This prayer experience helped him to see what he'd write about in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. That's where he gives this famous account. He is basically saying to the Roman soldier who's guarding him, you think you're free and I'm not, but let me tell you, the freedom is the freedom from the inside going out, and your helmet is a sign with the helmet of salvation in Christ. The breastplate of integrity, well, the breastplate that you're wearing is one of the integrity that God gives us in his presence. The sense of the sword that you meant to intimidate, to decapitate me, that's a sword of truth in the hands of God. The remarkable footwear that you're wearing, the Roman soldier, let me tell you that there's a gospel peace that God, he fits our feet with his gospel peace, and it helps us keep our balance wherever we go, the shield of faith. Now, this imagery has been popular and powerful, but what we have to see is the connection of the prayer of Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 that enabled him to see who he really was and the light of what that true armor really is. Because we can be so consumed by the worries and disappointments of life that we miss what God has for us to live by seeing it through the Spirit. Along with that arrival flaw, that meaning once we get to where we always thought we wanted to be, and to get there we realize this isn't going to make us happy as we thought it would be. So the same team of people worked on what's called the emotion forecasting. That is how we begin to forecast our future by things that are going to make us feel a particular way. And that we, in our own minds, we begin to do that. If I can do this and I will feel this level of joy or happiness or deep contentment. But if it's always something outside of ourselves, it again will always disappoint us. And Jesus Christ came as that living presence in the Spirit by whom we are strengthened, came to give us root and made us whole. It was one afternoon and when I'd been given for a Christmas gift the New Living Bible. It's a fresh kind of paraphrase of the scripture. And I went off into an outside chair in a little garden and I just opened it up and I, in a sense, stumbled across this. Maybe a spirit led across this prayer. And I found myself in the midst of reading the prayer, just getting down on my own knees and praying it, for the Lord to allow the Spirit to shape me in light of his strength, to let go of my own ego agendas, to let go of my own kind of self-strength, and then to let that new strength and his agenda update in my life to be the person I would be walking out in life. How is that for you? Well, it's this God wants to strengthen your life, whatever age, right now, to strengthen your life and to be able to have the power of the Spirit of God to be with you. Yeah. I was 15 when I began to preach and had a great pastor, Brother Mac. He had new experiences in the Holy Spirit. And so he was really being, I think, very cautious with it. He knew that the Holy Spirit can scare people. I guess that's that old term, the Holy Ghost, and the ghost is going to move and you get scared. And so he's really careful with it, but there were some people who did get scared in the church and got scared about letting the Spirit be more free around prayer and more free and saying, well, let's see what God will show us to do, or looking at the spiritual gifts and talking in the language of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our midst. Going from Calvary to resurrection, going from crucifixion to resurrection, going from resurrection to this full power of the Holy Spirit. Well, there were some Baptist bullies there. They didn't get enough votes to vote him out, but they got enough to break his heart, where he resigned. And the question's been asked me, why is it Baptist preachers don't preach more about the Holy Spirit? And the reason, they're afraid of splitting the church. Because a nasty side of spirit is pride. Some people saying, I got the Holy Spirit and you don't have the Holy Spirit, or you don't have the Holy Spirit like I have the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, you know, that doesn't feel very good. And you begin to feel like in and out, us and them, I belong and I don't belong. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. The freedom of the Holy Spirit is simply that. It's letting Christ just reign in our life, being grateful to God the Creator for all of God's creation, and the sense of just leaning into Spirit updates within our life. It doesn't disengage our mind, but it informs, it shapes our mind. It doesn't cause our heart to be shallow, but it deepens and lengthens and heightens and gives breath to our heart. This is the power of the Spirit of God. And there is so much in your life that you know that only God could make possible. And there is so much for your life that can only be made possible in the future by the Spirit, enabling you to jump high in order to see, and feet to touch the ground to be able to walk by what you saw. It's a good life. We live in a crazy world that wants to control us by distracting us with worry. We live in a world filled with fear, where fear takes over and then we stop trusting. And God comes back to reset all of that. You trust me and you be trustworthy. And then you can reshape the world in light of my presence through you. And Paul wraps this Ephesians up, this prayer, saying, by the Lord, you have revealed it to the church, and to the church you've revealed it. And the church to live out that message. And as we are in this message series in July and August, it's simply to give us an awareness, a humility, a stretch before God, that we will be stretched in a way that indeed will give us a deeper happiness by being servants in our hurting world. To you, O Lord, to you. Amen. So we move into our invitation. It's allowing the Spirit to move. As Cameron did at Camp Eagle Camp and accepted Christ, he came forward last Sunday, shared that decision, baptized today. You jump high to see, you walk in the walk. But it's not just conversion. It's our whole life. This is a Spirit moment updated for you. Let the Spirit speak to you. Simak and I will be up here, and we get an overflow crowd. Ethan's going to come and join us in here. And the sense to pray with you, to be with you, and to say, if you're at the place that Jesus Christ, I love you, and I give my life to you, that now is the time. To say the Trinity people, you know, I'm not sure about this thing called church, but you seem to be okay. I'm gonna throw in my obedience to Christ as a member of the church and join in. Whatever it is, let the Lord lead you. Amen. Stand, please.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.